Now we come to the supplement. Rudolf Steiner starts. He says, one ought to conceive the first rudiment of the human being with all the forces which it can have within the inwardly in the physical world. One conceive of that taken hold of by a force from below to above, which directly emanates out of the higher spiritual world, and which for itself alone, working for itself alone, would be able to bring forth only the human being insofar as he is a carrier of this ego. For this so created human being in the main could arise, it is taken hold of by the power of other forces which work from behind towards the front, which means in reality only that they permit the first forces to continue to look, to work, they only they divert them in a right angle. Forces which take hold of from below to the above are forces which come directly out of the higher spiritual world, and these are diverted by forces which come from backwards towards, from the back towards forwards, forces which divert the first forces and which divert them at a right angle, and which these second forces which come from behind towards the front originate directly out of the lower spiritual world. These are the forces that consist in the content of the life sense, one's own motion sense, and the equilibrium sense. These are the forces that emanate from the lower spiritual world, and they divert at a right angles those forces emanating from the higher spiritual world, which make man into a carrier of the ego. Even though the content of the life sense, the motion sense, and the equilibrium sense are all so different, nevertheless, they have in common the fact in the physical world, the ego has it as the experience of its own body. And with that, they presuppose nothing other than one's own corporeality if it is to be experienced. It must be experienced in the physical world in contact with one's own corporeality. And with that, they work there through their own corporeality, through one's own one's own bodily nature. Exactly counterposed to the life sense, one's motion sense, and the equilibrium sense are the experiences of the concept sense, the sound sense, and the tone sense. Rudolf Steiner uses the word laut sense and tone sense, tone sense. Laut and tone both mean tone and sound. But see, this is one of these bloody complications. What Rudolf Steiner, I'm sure, means the concept sense, the speech sense, and the sound sense. The sense for hearing is different from the sense for speech. He explains that elsewhere. The experiences of the concept sense, the speech sense, and the sound sense must so be perceived that within them one's own body is excluded. As a characteristic of these experiences of the concept sense, the speech sense, and the sound sense, that they are independent of one's own corporeal nature. In these, the ego must experience something which it can einfug, which it can insert itself without taking it from a corporeal nature. This something which the ego must experience from these concept sense, speech sense, and sound sense, at the same time must be something which is independent from the organs which these experiences mediate. and indeed in the same way independent from them, from these organs, as the ego itself is. In concept, speech, and sound, there is something so adds itself to one's own corporeality in the physical world as the ego itself is added to this corporeality. In the physical corporeality of man, there must with that make themselves valid rudiments, organ rudiments, which do not themselves have this corporeality as their presupposition. As these represent, manifest then a special organism which within the physical world contacts itself within the physical world with the content of the equilibrium sense, the own motion sense, and the life sense, without first entering into connection with the other organs. Thus, these contents must so work that they create life-filled organs in an already existing organism. They are thus forces which reveal in the physical world in such a way the composition of the lower spiritual world as the ego itself reveals the composition of the higher spiritual world. The content of the equilibrium sense, one's own most sense and the life sense, must directly radiate into the physical world from the lower spiritual world as the ego directly radiates into the physical world from the higher spiritual world. Thus, when these forces work upon the physical human being insofar as he is a carrier of the ego, so this physical man is divided into two physical members, of which one consists in the rudiments toward the life aspects, which continue further to the formation of the physical life organs. However, the other forces will so configure these life rudiments that they can become carriers of the experiences of in the ego which emanate from the lower spiritual world as the ego itself emanates out of the higher spiritual world. However, such experiences are the directly experiences of the concept sense, the speech sense, and the sound sense, which are directly related with the kind of nature of the ego. One represents to oneself the fact that the contents of the life sense, the motion sense, and the equilibrium sense are the forces which out of the lower spiritual world come backwards towards the front, take hold of the original primal rudiment of the physical body as an ego carrier, and then imprint into this rudiment, primal rudiment of the physical body as ego carrier, imprints into this their own nature, so must they imprint into this physical body organs through which the ego experience has, which so connects it with the lower spiritual world, as it itself is connected with the higher spiritual world. Sound, speech, and concept are in their content so direct revelations of the lower spiritual world as the ego manifestation is a revelation of the higher spiritual world. But furthermore, if one represents to oneself the primal, original, rudiment, ego rudiment of the physical human being as being not something which is resting in itself, but something which is striving from below to the above, if you represent that to yourself, so this would, through the experiences which exist in the life sense, equilibrium sense, and one's own motion sense, through that content of these life sense, equilibrium sense, and motion sense, could be further built up to the experiences of sound, speech, and concept, so that they are taken up by those contents and become permeated with them in the direction of backwards to forwards. Now, assumed that these so transformed physical human rudiments would now be taken hold of from the right towards the left by the content of the sight sense, the taste sense, and the smell sense, of the warmth sense and the hearing sense, obviously they would not be able to work upon these if no corresponding rudiments to the senses would be present. However, the substance itself, as it were, could beat upon this rudiment, and through that they would, in the organ rudiments, which through the content of the equilibrium sense, motion sense, and life sense, develop themselves otherwise to organs for the concept sense, speech sense, and sound sense. They would become such organs which they would be able to experience in themselves the external workings of the stuff. This is present in the physical world, only could be present if life organs are present. Now it is clear that breathing, warming, and nutrition processes are possible only through life organs already present. On the other hand, the secretion, the Erhaltung, the maintenance, the growth, and the Hervorbringung, the replication, are such processes which call forth the ego experiences in the physical world, which, from the external processes of the physical world itself, remain uninfluenced. Insofar as such processes show themselves in the life sense, motion sense, and equilibrium sense, they presuppose only inner life organs. Thus, life organs are present, which without external influencing of substance, so incorporate themselves into the ego as concept, speech, and sound out of the physical world incorporate themselves into the ego. Only for the warmth sense and sight sense and taste sense, extra external substances are present, of which the ego separates its experience. Thus, there are present life processes which can be perceived only in an inward way. And there are also warmth experience, sight experience, and taste experience incorporated as sensations in the ego, which are separated from external stuff, substances. Now you must presuppose that the ego would, living in the physical world, so be related with the astral world as it, through itself, is related to the higher spiritual world through concept, speech, and sound. You presuppose that the ego, as living in the physical world, is so related to the astral world as it itself is related to the higher spirit world through concept, speech, and sound related to the lower spirit world. You bloody will struggle with that sentence. I can't. Continue. That could only be if it in itself had such life processes, so catalyze themselves, so inflame themselves, light themselves up to other life processes, that through that an inner process is stimulated from a corresponding external life processes. Then you would need only in this replication, growth, maintenance, and secretion to see such life processes which from the outside and in which from the outside are stimulated, and in breathing, warming, and nutrition to see such processes which are stimulated from within. Only one must immediately presuppose that the inner breathing, warming, and nutrition are associated with such processes as are stimulated out of the external world, from out of the external world, stimulate into the ego direct processes, just as sound, speech, and concept directly incorporate themselves into the ego. This means it must occur in the ego rudiment, workings out of the astral world, which separate life processes from life processes in the same sense as the ego itself separates from itself, the ego separates from itself sound, speech, and concept, as well as the ego perception separates from itself. If the inner breathing, warming, and nutrition is stimulated through an ego which directly receives out of the external world that which in the taste, sight, and warmth experiences separates itself in the physical world living ego, so such an ego can work in the indicated way. This bloody if, so, if are driving me up the pole. Continue. Thus, there must meet the physical human being, thus an ego out of the astral world must meet the physical human being, which, through its beingness, is not external to the taste, sight, and warmth experience, and only just needs organs to its perception. Not that, but such which in its being itself would be within these experiences. If Rudolf Steiner doesn't get you by his if, so, it gets you by his negatives. It'll get you one way or the other. Continue. Taste, sight, and warmth experience must not be dead substance, totstofflich, dead stuff, but ensouled, must be thought of, the taste, sight, and warmth experiences must be thought of as ensouled by that ego which is related to the higher and lower spiritual world. Then, such an ego would be able to permit its inner life to work upon the physical rudiment of the human being, and the taste, sight, and warmth experiences would able to be to radiate through this physical rudiment. If then the content of these sense experiences would so permeate the physical rudiment to the ego. If that is so, so are they able in such organ rudiments as the life processes be able to effect for the equilibrium motion sense and life sense to be able to call forth and effect a transformation which would transform these organ rudiments into replication, growth, maintenance and secretion organs. The ego thus would be up to a certain point of time in reference to the physical human rudiment and external. If that were so, then it would be able from this point on to become in organ rudiments which are on the path of becoming breathing, warming and nutrition organs to give such stimulation which are secretion, maintenance, growth and replication organs. If now the ego, which radiates into the physical world, taste, sight and warmth experiences into the physical world, if they're not resting in themselves, but if they strive in the direction from left to right, so there would arise life organs which towards the right would develop themselves as breathing, warming and nutrition organs, and would develop themselves towards the left as secretion, maintenance, growth and replication organs. Since now in such organs as has been presupposed the living ego is, so there would in these processes, in the process of these organs, it would not take itself in a passive way, but it would be able to live in its processes. And these would be, at the same time, ego experiences. The pushing in of stuff from the left into the nutrition organs would correspond to the maintenance from the right, and the warmth from the left would correspond to the growth from the right, and the breathing from the left would correspond to the replication from the right, which in this case would be the outbreathing. And the secretion would be able to hold the stuff in equilibrium from both sides. The reverse processes must occur when nutrition, warming and breathing work from the right. There would rise maintenance, growth and replication from the left towards the right. Now indeed it is clear that in the physical world, free-soaring taste, sight and warmth experience could just as little be present, as it is clear that substance is present which not only can serve breathing, warming and nutrition, but which can be enlivened by an ego through pure contact, mere contact, and indeed in a pure soul experiences. This is the case if stuff as itself emerges as a sensation image and attaches itself as sensation image to the impulses of desiring and motion. Or there could appear the stuff only for, so can, only for the smell sense stuff appear. If now externally to the rudiments of the that beat stuff which beats onto the rudiments of the physical man in the innerward, has to confront the desire and motion impulse. If that is so, so can its pure rebounding on the the rudiments of the physical man signify a sensation image. And if this then, through desiring, releases an inner motion impulse, then can a pure breathing organ which is engaged in its formation just as well be held up in its formation as it is led beyond the degree of its own formative forces. If the desiring impulse works stronger than the desire, if the motion impulse works stronger than the desiring impulse, then it becomes, it's led on further to an external breathing organ. If the desiring works stronger, then this dash, 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 there will work, if, oh, good heavens, if the desiring and, oh, you see, there's some gap in this, in the manuscript. There's a bloody gap in the manuscript. That helps, that's helped, fine. Okay, let's start again. If the motion impulse works stronger than the desiring, so it is further led to become an external breathing organ. Then there's a gap. Then it says the desiring impulse works stronger, but doesn't say what's there. It's a gap in the manuscript. Okay. If the desiring and motion impulse work equally, so the sensation image which it suffers through the bounding, through the unprowl, the prowling, the contacting of the substance on its borders is counterposed to its original rudiment from below towards above. Are there works from below towards the above? Now there no longer works from the below towards the above, that ego which emanates from the astral world, because it is to him essential to work on the human being only in the direction of the horizontal surface. Then there would come for the working towards the above only the beginnings of the working from the above to below out of the higher spiritual world working forces, and such previously formed sense objects, and from that's previously called sense rudiments and life organs would come into consideration, which in the motion from right to left and left to right are not taken hold of, because they, through their acquisition of the working of the astral ego position in that direction, can experience no influence of the ego, but in their conclusion they would have been led towards it. End sentence. And you struggle with that. I'm not going to even look at that sentence again. In formation, which in their movement from backwards towards the front would not have been concluded, because those forces which work from above to below, the conclusion which through the forces are working from backwards towards the front, those forces which would have been able to work that way are resisted. Now, assumed in the motion here indicated, there would be working only the content of the equilibrium sense, the one's own motion sense and the life sense. So there could enter the interaction working only of those between the towards above working rudiment of the physical human being and from the above towards the below working of the ego, which is related to the higher spiritual world. Furthermore, between those sense rudiments and those which are related with the lower spiritual world, from front towards backward working ego, blimey, the latter ego could in his side again enter into interworking with that which could be as the experience of the ego in the equilibrium sense, one's own motion sense and life sense be self experiences of the ego. Since now inner organs in the physical human rudiment are now present, so, and now we had dot dash def, evidently the manuscript has not been completed. What do we have at the bottom? We have a variante. Rudolf Steiner decides, well, maybe he's not being so clear here, so he's going to variant the whole thing. I believe the manuscript was incompleted by Rudolf Steiner himself, because he saw that he got so tied up in bloody ideas that he probably confused himself. Shouldn't say that. Rudolf Steiner never confuses himself. No, he doesn't. No, he really doesn't. Honest, I'm saying he doesn't confuse himself. It just happens he probably realizes this is too bloody difficult to present. And so he writes a variante. He attaches his variante to the place where he says, remember above there, he says, if the motion impulse works stronger than the desiring impulse, it is further developed to an external breathing organ. And that's where we had the dot dashes in the manuscript. And now the dot dashes is his variant. Now, if the desiring and motion impulses work equal, so will the sensation image, which it suffers through the beating of the stuff, substance, and its borders, be counterposed to something from below to it counterposes its own primal direction from below to above. Then there would come, for further processes in consideration, the forces of the ego, which is related with the higher and the lower spiritual world and with the astral world. Furthermore, those processes which did not proceed towards the end in their formation, those processes which are still involved in their process of formation, those processes of the hearing, sound, and concept sense, hearing, speech, and concept sense, which the inworking, which have resisted the inworking of the horizontal surface working, astral, up to now, have resisted the horizontal working astral ego. The latter, thus now, is exposed to this working in. Its further formation could now, inner life processes can be exposed, their further formation could now, through inner life processes, which exposed to the ego related to the astral world, the sense images, desirings, and motion impulses so occur that the conclusion in a completed motion has arrived at the board of its possibility, or it could be held back in the conclusion of the border its possibility. Blimey. The first would be the case if the working of the astral, of the ego related to the astral world, would be exhausted in the rudiments of the physical moment, of the physical man, in the moment when motion ceases from front towards backwards. This second situation would occur when the working of that ego also towards the stopped up motion still continues to go. The first case enters for the hearing organ when the sensation image of the ego is brought to its completion. The second case is realized in the case of the sound and concept sense, or the speech and concept sense, which are not led to the surface of the human rudiment, but are held back in the inner human being. So there also remain also, after the conclusion of the motion, still the capacity for development. The working together between the original direction with the higher spiritual world related ego, from below towards above, and from the below towards the above streaming rudiments of the physical human being, makes itself valid in the upright figure. It shows itself that the ego itself has the same direction as the physical human rudiment, so that not only the forces of the backward front backwards, right left, left right are active, but that the physical human rudiment, in the sense of the ego, directs itself upwards. Then there's dot dash dash. The processes which are here indicated correspond to the formation of the human form, just likewise as the course of human life. That ends this bloody thing. Never have I suffered a problem with translating Rudolf Steiner as in these bloody 10 essays. And in this manuscript, what do I find? I find some notes that someone else found of this whole thing given in a summarized form. These are Rudolf Steiner's own notes, notes which I presume do not form part of his presentation. And these notes, you'll notice, are far more simpler than what he's bloody will put in these essays. No, if, so, 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 or nothing else as but it's quite simple. So listen to this very carefully now, because you've probably got the whole bloody 10 essays here summarized in a way you can understand. The perception of the other human being is an image sensation, a sensation image. As reality, it confronts the Erfüllung. Okay. The perception of the other human being is a sensation image. And confronting this as a reality is the fulfilling of that which is given by the touch sense. So that in this inner being is given the reality which lies at the basis of the touch sense. Now, in the perception of the concept out of the external world is given that which as a reality in the physical corporeality is valid as the sense organ of Einbildung, of idea. In this sense organ, there lives the concept. So there is given to a life organ from the external the form of the concept organ. It is as life sense, the configurating concept of the life organ. In the perception of speech out of the external world is given that which as a reality in the physical corporeality is valid the sense organ of the speech formation. In this sense organ, speech lives. It behind this, the motion sense is behind this, no, the life organ which is behind this configurating speech is the motion sense. in the perception of sound out of the external world is given that which is valid as the reality of the which in the reality of the physical corporeality as the sense organ of sound formation. In this sense organ, sound comes to perception, and in this organ is active, before it becomes a hearing organ, the equilibrium sense is active. We have A, life organs, which bring, on the one side, soul conditions in the physical world. B, life organs, which on the other side, transform themselves into sense organs. Now with A, one, the whole organism, ego consciousness, head form. Two, blood circulation, striving desirings, fantasy. Three, muscle organism, moving impulses, speech. Finish with that. Now it's another note. The ego lives in the first place in its soul conditions, then in its life processes, and these imprint themselves the perceptions of the external world. And here we have the end of this book. Now let's add the preface to this book by Johannes Vega. He says, here for the first time there has been published an incompleted work which Rudolf Steiner wrote and was found in the year 1910 and was found after he died, in his Nachlass, found a copy in his own handwriting, as well as a printed sheet corrected by the author himself. Rudolf Steiner had dealt with the same theme orally in the first of the 12 lectures, Anthroposophy, Psychosophy, and Pneumatosophy, held in 1909, 1910, and 1911. Later, again taken up in many sides. Example, in the book of the Riddles of the Soul, 1917, and in many lectures of the 12th of August, 1916, about the 12 self-sense domains and the 7 life processes. In the Riddle of the Human Being, then in the 2nd of September 1916, then the 8th of August 1920, and then the 22nd of July 1921, and then again in his sense teaching, in his book, The General Knowledge of Man as a Fundamental of Pedagogy, in 1910, and then in his book, Limits of Nature Knowledge of 1920, etc., 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 etc. The content of this fragment is so valuable that it seems to be justified to impart it to the public, although here you are dealing with an incompleted work of Rudolf Steiner, that Rudolf Steiner himself did not believe it was mature enough for publication. Now, how these are to be grasped, Rudolf Steiner speaks in the cycle Limits of the Knowledge of Nature, in the lecture the 2nd of October 1920. He said it like this, and we quote, "For many years, on a certain domain, I have attempted to clothe what one can call the sense teaching of man. I succeeded in a certain way to clothe in words what such a human, applying to such human teaching of the senses, I succeeded to clothe in words the teaching of the 12 senses in verbal lectures, because one did not have the possibility of so turning the speech of language and so turning it and through repetitions to take care of the necessary understanding because of the defects of our language, which is not yet adapted to deal with such supersensible things. And so I try to do it better in lectures. However, as then, as I said, for many years before, many years previously, I attempted to write it up in a book, that which I actually had given in actual an anthroposophy in lectures. There was the remarkable thing, that which I experienced externally, when I tried to carry it into my inner being, was so sensitive that the speech did not provide words for me. And what happened was that which was already partially printed, for 5 to 6 years I left it alone in the printing place. I could, because I wanted to continue the totality in the same sort of style as I began it. I could not continue it, because I try to continue the same style, and I find that I didn't have, at my stage of development that time, I didn't have the language, the speech, which was appropriate. And so I didn't finish the book, and I didn't have it published. Afterwards, I was so overcome with work that I couldn't complete this book. Now, a person who has less degree of conscientiousness about myself as what I communicate to the human beings out of the spiritual world might perhaps scorn and laugh about the fact that I remained standing at a certain time because I couldn't overcome the difficulty. However, the person who's really experienced these things and is permeated by the full feeling of responsibility of that which yields itself when you want to describe the paths which Western man takes towards imagination, that person knows how necessary it is when, for such a description, you have to find the correct words. In a path of training, as a path of training, it's relatively easy to describe. That imagination, the path of training leading to imagination, is relatively easy to describe. I've done that in my book entitled How One Acquires Knowledge of the Higher Worlds. But insofar as one wants to have as one's goal definite results, as it was the results in reference to the nature of the human senses, when you want to describe the nature of the human senses as a part of the inner human organization, if one wants to achieve that as your goal, then there produce difficulties. Then there are very great difficulties to take hold of these imaginations and present them through words in sharp contours. Here ends Rudolf Steiner's comment on this. Then Joris Wagner says, the text which is given here follows the corrected pages right up to page 70. The rest is imprinted up to page 70 in this book. Evidently, he follows that which has been printed and corrected. The rest is printed from the manuscript. The corrected pages contain partly different variations, which are likewise given here. End of the preface. Well, thank God, the end of this project. However, this is an important point. I might say, I've struggled with this, I failed, I know I failed, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to study everything written about the senses, the teaching of the senses and the life organs, And also, then once, perhaps before I die, I'll have another shot at rewriting all this in a different way. Oh no, I mustn't do that. They'd lynch me. If Rudolf Steiner couldn't do it, you can't do it, Rick Mansell. Don't you dare try. But I bloody well will try. I'll try to write some books. I'll write a book in which I'll take hold of everything which Rudolf Steiner wrote later on. Everything which his students wrote about the senses, and try to put them together in such a way they become a living experience for people. I'll bloody well try to do that sometime. Maybe I'll die before then. If I'll die before then, I'll go up in the spiritual world. Rudolf Steiner will get hold of me, will give me a thorough beating first, and he'll say to me, Rick Mansell, last incarnation, you grew too big for your britches. This time you're going to be in the spiritual world, and we'll train you a little bit better than we did last time, and send you down again, hoping you do a bloody better job. End tape.